Random House Audio presents Bright Lights, Big City by Jay McInerney. This is Daniel Passer.
How did you go bankrupt? Bill asked.
Two ways, Mike said.
Gradually, and then suddenly.
The sun also rises.
It's 6 a.m. Do you know where you are?
You are not the kind of guy who would be at a place like this at this time of the morning. But here you are. And you cannot say that the terrain is entirely unfamiliar, although the details are fuzzy. You are at a nightclub talking to a girl with a shaved head. The club is either Heartbreak or the Lizard Lounge. All might come clear if you could just slip into the bathroom and do a little more Bolivian marching powder. Then again, it might not. A small voice inside you insists that this epidemic lack of clarity is a result of too much of that already. The night has already turned on the imperceptible pivot, where 2 a.m. changes to 6 a.m. You know this moment has come and gone, but you are not yet willing to concede that you have crossed the line beyond which all is gratuitous damage and the palsy of unraveled nerve endings. Somewhere back there you could have cut your losses. But you rode past that moment on a comet trail of white powder, and now you are trying to hang on to the rush. Your brain at this moment is composed of brigades of tiny Bolivian soldiers. They are tired and muddy from their long march through the night. There are holes in their boots and they are hungry. They need to be fed. They need the Bolivian marching powder. A vaguely tribal flavor to the scene. Pendulous jewelry, face paint, ceremonial headgear and hairstyles. You feel that there is also a certain Latin theme, something more than the piranhas cruising your bloodstream and the fading buzz of marimbas in your brain. You are leaning back against a post that may or may not be structural with regard to the building, but which feels essential to your own maintenance of an upright position. The ball girl is saying this used to be a good place to come before the assholes discovered it. You don't want to be talking to this bald girl, or even listening to her, which is all you are doing. But just now you do not want to test the powers of speech or locomotion. How did you get here? It was your friend, Tad Allagash, who powered you in here, and he has disappeared. Tad is the kind of guy who would be at a place like this at this time of the morning. He is either your best self or your worst self. You're not sure which. Earlier in the evening, it seemed clear that he was your best self. You started on the Upper East Side with champagne and unlimited prospects, strictly observing the Allagash rule of perpetual motion, one drink per stop. Tad's mission in life is to have more fun than anyone else in New York City. And this involves a lot of moving around, since there is always the likelihood that where you aren't is more fun than where you are. You are awed by his strict refusal to acknowledge any goal higher than the pursuit of pleasure. You want to be like that. You also think he is shallow and dangerous. His friends are all rich and spoiled, like the cousin from Memphis you met earlier in the evening who would not accompany you below 14th Street because, he said, he didn't have a low-life visa. This cousin had a girlfriend with cheekbones to break your heart. And you knew she was the real thing when she steadfastly refused to acknowledge your presence. She possessed secrets about islands, about horses, about French pronunciation that you would never know. You have traveled in the course of the night from the meticulous to the slime. The girl with the shaved head has a scar tattooed on her scalp. It looks like a long, sutured gash. You tell her it is very realistic. She takes this as a compliment and thanks you. You meant as opposed to romantic.
I could use one of those right over my heart, you say.
You want? I can give you the name of the guy that did it. You'd be surprised how cheap.
You don't tell her that nothing would surprise you now. Her voice, for instance, which is like the New Jersey State anthem played through an electric shaver. The bald girl is emblematic of the problem. The problem is, for some reason, you think you are going to meet the kind of girl who is not the kind of girl who would be at a place like this at this time of the morning. When you meet her, you are going to tell her that what you really want is a house in the country with a garden. New York, the club scene, bald women. You're tired of all that. Your presence here is only a matter of conducting an experiment in limits, reminding yourself of what you aren't. You see yourself as the kind of guy who wakes up early on Sunday morning and steps out to cop the Times and croissants, who might take a cue from the arts and leisure section and decide to check out an exhibition. Costumes of the Habsburg court at the Met, say, or Japanese lacquerware of the Muromachi period at the Asia Society. The kind of guy who calls up the woman he met at a publishing party Friday night, the party he did not get sloppy drunk at. See if she wants to check out the exhibition, and maybe do an early dinner. A guy who would wait until 11 a.m. to call her, because she might not be an early riser like he is. She may have been out late, perhaps at a nightclub, and maybe a couple of sets of tennis before the museum. He wonders if she plays, but of course she would. When you meet the girl who wouldn't, etc., you will tell her that you are slumming, visiting your own 6 a.m., Lower East Side of the Soul on a lark, stepping nimbly between the piles of garbage to the gay marimba rhythms in your head. Well, no, not gay, but she will know exactly what you mean. On the other hand, almost any girl, specifically one with a full head of hair, would help you stave off this creeping sense of mortality. You remember the Bolivian marching powder and realize you're not down yet. No way, Jose. First, you have to get rid of this bald girl. In the bathroom, there are no doors on the stalls, which makes it tough to be discreet. But clearly, you are not the only person in here to take on fuel. Lots of sniffling going on in the stalls. The windows are blacked over, and for this you are profoundly grateful. Hop, two, three, four. The soldiers are back on their feet. They are off and running in formation. Some of them are dancing, and you must follow their example. Just outside the door you spot her. Tall, dark, and alone. Half hidden behind a pillar at the edge of the dance floor. You approach laterally, moving your stuff like a bad spade through the slalom of a synthesized conga rhythm. She jumps when you touch her shoulder. Dance? She looks at you as if you had just suggested instrumental rape. I do not speak English, she says when you ask again. Francais? She shakes her head. Why is she looking at you that way? As if tarantulas were nesting in your eye sockets. You are, by any chance, from Bolivia? Or Peru? She is looking around for help now. Remembering a recent encounter with a young heiress's bodyguard at Danceteria, or was it the Red Parrot? You back off, hands raised over your head. The Bolivian soldiers are still on their feet, but they have stopped singing their marching song. You realize that you are at a crucial juncture vis-a-vis morale. What you need is a good pep talk from Tad Allagash, but he is not to be found. You try to imagine what he would say. Back on the horse. Now we're really going to have some fun. Something like that. You suddenly realize that he has already slipped out with some rich hose queen. He is back at her place on Fifth Avenue, and they are doing some of her off-the-boat quality drugs. They are scooping it out of tall Ming vases and snorting it off each other's naked bodies. You hate Tad Allagash. Go home. Cut your losses. Stay. Go for it. You are a republic of voices tonight. Unfortunately, that republic is Italy. All these voices waving their arms and screaming at one another. There's an ex cathedra riff coming down from the Vatican. Repent. Your body is the temple of the Lord and you have defiled it. It is, after all, Sunday morning, and as long as you have any brain cells left, there will be a resonant patriarchal basso echoing down the marble vaults of your church-going childhood to remind you that this is the Lord's day. What you need is another overpriced drink to drown it out. But a search of pockets yields only a dollar bill and change. You paid 20 to get in here. Panic gains.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?